It's a very important Sunday, and it is traditionally the Sunday we recognize Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, right? And it's that official kind of kickoff of what has become known as Passion Week, right? And there's a lot going on this week. And I don't know how many of you may be here that are using it. I'm just curious. How many people are doing the Shine FM Walk with Jesus app? Okay. So the rest of you could be just saying. So they have an app. You can go on to Shine FM, and what they've got, 95.1 does this app where they send you a text throughout this entire week. It started this morning at 9 a.m. And so what they do is they walk you through the Passion Week, and they send you a text as the events are unfolding throughout this entire week in, we'll call it real time. They're doing it in Eastern Standard Time, which is real time for us. If they did it in real time, you probably would be very upset with the text. You might be upset with some of the text now. There's going to be some that come late at night, just so you know. But they won't be coming in the middle of the morning. But just curious, if you're not doing that, you could do that. It'd be a great way to follow through all of the things in this week. Today also marks the 11th Easter season here at Real Life Chapel. This is our 11th Easter series, which brings the 11th Easter sermon series, right? And I'm just sitting and go, okay, Lord, how can we approach this same important season and same important story and do it in a different way than we've done before? And that can be challenging, right? So, well, if you don't know that, I will tell you, that can be challenging. But, you know, there's one of the things that helped me. Laura Lee and I have this little sign, not a needlepoint. You know, now that people to come, anytime somebody comes to our house, you know they do that? I know that they're doing that now. They look around. Oh, I don't know if that's in context. You know, I don't know. Got the wrong verse on a needlepoint because it makes them feel good. Now, we don't have any of that. But I do have this little sign. Laura Lee and I have this little sign that hangs in our kitchen that reads this. This is a very important sign. It says, all I need today is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. Right? And that is a great reminder. A little bit of coffee, whole lot of Jesus. And so I will tell you that this year's sermon series is connected to that sign because it is comprised of just that, coffee, Jesus, and me. All right, and so as I was sitting there in the morning, early morning, and praying and trying to wrestle through what are we going to do this year, how are we going to approach it, and I just felt like God gave this to me during a caffeinated period of time. So we'll see how this goes. So we're going to follow the events this year. I mean, we're not going to like trek off too far, but this year we're going to do something a little different. I want you guys to see and hear this year from the vantage point of one of the disciples. So I'm going to do it just a little bit different. His Hebrew name is, Jesus actually gave him an Aramaic nickname, Kepha, also known in the Greek as Petros, but you and I simply know him as the fisherman who became a fisher of men, Simon Peter. So this year we're going to walk through this Sunday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and the Sunday after, through these same events, but from the vantage point of Simon Peter, through his words and his actions. And I hope that maybe something will strike you this year that has not in the past. Interestingly, so Palm Sunday, right, as I mentioned before, we all know this. This is where Jesus is riding in on the colt of a donkey, right? He's riding in triumphantly into Jerusalem, and everybody's waving the palm branches, right, and proclaiming and really kind of, well, they're expressing things, but they really are missing the point. He's not who they want him to be, or he's not going to turn out to be who they are looking for or want him to be. And we know that those chants of Hosanna and all that stuff is going to change by the end of the week. But there's a lot of things that went on leading up to this day. And it's interesting that when you look in the scripture, there's a question that we're going to take a look at today. And it's Peter's last recorded words leading up to today, leading up to the triumphal entry. Because he's silent. Or the scriptures have Peter silent during this event. In fact, we're going to look at Peter's words today, the last recorded words that he spoke prior to this event. He will not speak again or will not be heard from again in the scriptures until we arrive at the Passover table. And there's a lot of stuff that takes place. So if you look in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, I've got it in your programs. It's going to be on the screen. And I'm going to give you some context in a second, but here's this question. So I want you to hear Peter, right? Yeah, I mean, we know who we're talking about, right? This is that bold fisherman, right, that we read about in the scripture so much and we hear the stories about. So Matthew 19, 27, Peter says this. Then Peter said to him, Jesus is having a conversation. I'm gonna take us into that in just a second. But here's the question. Jesus says, Peter says to Jesus, hey, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? Right? You need to hear it how it was. Hey, look, man, we've given up everything to follow you. What are we going to get? Right? What are we going to get out of it? Right? This is the question. So I want to give you a little of the backstory and the context of where this is. So, you know, Jesus and his guys, they're on this tour. They're making this grand tour that is headed back to Jerusalem that is going to culminate in the Passion Week, his crucifixion, death, resurrection. But on the way, man, there's a lot of stuff that happens. And this question comes out of a conversation that is based on an encounter with a young guy who had a whole lot of money. Maybe you've heard of it. The rich young ruler, the rich young man, however it's stated in your particular translation. And this young guy approached Jesus, and he wanted to know how to have eternal life and all this. And they had a brief conversation back and forth about some scriptural stuff. And then Jesus said, hey, I want you know what? Give up all your stuff and come follow me. And guess what? The rich young guy walked away kind of discouraged. He wasn't ready to do that. And then Jesus began to talk with his disciples, and he said, look, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And this like blew their minds, because they're thinking, well, he's rich. That means he's blessed by God. You're telling us that somebody who is blessed by God is going to have a hard time entering into the kingdom of heaven? Right? And so then one of the disciples said, well, who on earth can be saved then? Right? Because it sounds like a really difficult thing. And Jesus turns around and he says to those guys, everything is possible with God. We need to hear that. Everything is possible with God. So in that conversation, as that's being said, as Jesus is replying, all of a sudden, that's when this question comes out, right? And Peter, on the backside of who can be saved, everything is possible with God, then all of a sudden, Peter comes back, and Peter says, wow, we've given up everything. What are we going to get? Right? And then Jesus, who follow me, those who have given up and follow me are going to receive more in that conversation. But I want you to hear that question. We've given up everything to follow you. What are we going to get? You ever think about that yourself? Maybe not out loud, right? I mean, you're not going to say that out loud because you don't want somebody to think less of you. I know how that rolls. But I think if we're honest, isn't there a time when we wonder, man, Lord, I feel like I've given up stuff to follow you. I mean, what am I going to get? What will I get? I think it's an honest question. After that question, Peter is silent. There's all kinds of things. Immediately after that, Peter rolls silent. There's the healing of blind Bartimaeus. There's a visit with a short guy named Zacchaeus, up in Jericho. All of these different things are occurring, and yet the scriptures are silent with Peter. You know, I wonder why those were the last words. That last question is it, and then Peter's silent until the Passover table. I mean, I don't know. I'm completely speculating, you know. But I don't know. I kind of picture, you know, I kind of picture Peter walking down the road now. You know, kind of bug. You know, daggone, man. I done left everything. What am I going to get? You know, and just maybe he's contemplating that. I don't know that for sure, but I just, in my mind, I kind of picture that and wonder why this figure who's so prominent throughout the Gospels is now silent. We've given up stuff to follow Jesus. What are we going to get? In the book of 1 Peter, we have a much wiser, much older, spiritual parent version of Peter. Looking back, he's years later now looking back on the events that are getting ready to unfold. And he's answering that very question. The question he posed, we've given up everything to follow Jesus. What will we get? And then when we get to 1 Peter, we hear the words of Peter answering the very question that he asked. If you'll open up in your Bibles or you open up your programs and take a look, this book of 1 Peter, written much later, and Peter's writing to some Christians, some followers of Christ, believers, who are really going through very difficult times. They're in Turkey. And this is the time, it's at the beginning of Nero's persecution. So they're facing difficult times, not merely inconvenient times, deadly times. And so Peter's writing to them to encourage them. And right at the beginning in his encouragement, he looks back on the events that are going to unfold this week. He says this, starting in verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Now, I don't know if you see it, but there's a few things in there that he's saying that we're going to get. And it's all because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So because of the events that are going to unfold this week, he's going to share with us three things that we get. He's telling them. You see what they are? The first thing he says, because of God's great mercy, we have been born again. One of the first things we're going to get is this new birth. A new birth. We're going to be born again. And then he says, because of that, we have a great expectation. We live with a great expectation, or other translations call it a living hope. And then he says, we have a priceless inheritance. A priceless inheritance. So there's three things that Peter's answering this question. Well, what are we going to get? We gave up everything to follow Jesus. What will we get? Well, you're going to get a new birth. You're going to have a living hope. And you're going to receive a priceless inheritance. That's what we're going to get. I don't know if we reflect on that very much or we think about that. Through faith, God is protecting. Now, remember what he's saying? I told you these are people who are under severe persecution from Nero. This is early on. This isn't inconvenient times, this is incredibly difficult times. And in the midst of these very difficult times, he's saying God's going to protect you. And yet many of them died. What was God protecting? Because they had a priceless inheritance. See, sometimes we have a tendency, especially in our day and age, we have a tendency to somehow separate our walk with Christ and suffering. I hate to say it. It's really bad for us to even use the word suffering. We don't really know what that is. Right? These people did. They knew the suffering that came with following Christ. We know the inconveniences that come with following Christ. We know the challenges that come with following Christ. But I'm not so sure that we're familiar with the suffering that comes with following Jesus Christ. Some of you here go, oh, well, Pastor Frank, you don't understand. You don't know all the things I've been through. Have you been through those things specifically because you're following Christ? Or just because you're dumb? And you made bad decisions repeatedly. That don't count. Right? Well, you don't understand. I suffered. Talking about, did you suffer specifically because you're following Christ? Maybe some people have. But I don't think we're familiar with that. Not to the degree these people were. These people were being tortured. These people were being killed. That's a big deal. And that's a big difference from what we experience. But through faith, God is protecting by the Holy Spirit. Until you receive this salvation. Did that mess with anybody when you saw that being read? Until you receive it? Because you're kind of like, wait a minute. Thought I got it. Until I receive it? The salvation that Peter's talking about, this salvation that is the big thing that Peter's reflecting on, is got a past, present, and future component to it. When he's telling them, what will we get? Well, we get a new birth. We are born again when we enter into a relationship with Christ. Wow, that's already happened. We now have a living hope. That's every day as we walk through this world with its difficulties and its challenges for them in the midst of their torture and suffering. They had a living hope. Why? Because of a future priceless inheritance that is stored up for them. You and I, as we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, same thing. We're born again when we enter into that relationship. As we walk in the midst of that relationship, we have a living hope. And we can look forward to a priceless inheritance that he has for us. Salvation. We talk about that word a lot. I mean, maybe in church, but do we talk about that word outside of church too much? I mean, salvation. Something that, you know, it's deliverance, right? Salvation, that's what it is. We're being delivered from sin or from harm or from ruin of our lives eternally. That's what salvation is. Did you know that sinners need salvation? It's not an option, right? Every sinner needs salvation. They need to be delivered from harm and ruin and sin in their life. It's not something we can go, I'm not sure I'd take that or leave that. You know, we need it. Salvation is in Christ alone. And it's only for those who trust and obey Christ. That may not play well on the news right there. Right? Salvation is necessary. You know, the way the church operates today and the way I think sometimes we Christians, as we walk out our faith, we have a tendency to confuse things. There are other things that we think are so important, even though they're valuable. I don't want to devalue something. Things are valuable, but they are not the same as salvation. Social services are valuable. Sobriety is valuable. Psychology and counseling are valuable. But none of those things are a substitute for salvation. And I think we got a church today in many places that's riding on those other three things and neglecting the biggest thing. Right? They're doing all kinds of good stuff. Got the social thing happening. Right? But is salvation most important? I mean, think about it. We've got people who are struggling, people we love, that are wrestling with all kinds of addictions. I don't think any of us have to look too far to find somebody. And as important and as necessary, and as much as we want their sobriety to occur, their salvation is far more important than their sobriety. Wow, if we would put the effort into sharing the gospel and leading people to Christ that we put in trying to get people sober and straight and clean. We need to do those things. Please hear me. Salvation is the church's priority. Should be all of our priority. Looking back at this passage from 1 Peter verses 10 through 12, Peter continues and he says, this salvation, this past, present, future component salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not just for themselves, but for you, for a future audience. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Do we hear that? This is a glorious salvation prepared for those that are to come. This is something that the prophets foretold and they were excited, but they realized that it wasn't just for them. It was for those in the future who were going to experience the salvation in Christ alone. And this is something that's so wonderful that the angels are watching eagerly. Man, I don't know, right? I haven't been there, but I got to think if angels are eagerly watching something, it's got to be pretty spectacular. And I don't know that we feel the same way. I mean, salvation. Man, doesn't that word get you excited? Does it? Right? I mean, think about this. There are beings in heaven that are so excited over this salvation story that's unfolding that they're eagerly watching. And yet some of us can't be bothered with it. Well, I mean, you got the hour. Pastor Frank, you're running a little long, too. We need to get out of here. Right? Salvation is gracious good news, so wonderful that the angels are eagerly watching. Do we know that? Do we sense that? Do we feel that? How wonderful is salvation through faith in Christ? It's intolerant. It's Christ alone. It's exclusive. It's only for those who trust and obey. It's necessary. You don't enter God's presence without it. But it's wonderful. And it's offered to us freely today. Man, we can't. You can't work and earn this. It's a free gift from God that we have to receive. And we receive it through faith by placing our trust that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior, the Messiah, the only way to heaven. We've given up stuff to follow Jesus, haven't we? Well, maybe. Maybe I should ask that question. Have you given up anything to follow Jesus? Or some of us are trying that other route. Oh, I'm following Jesus, but I ain't giving up nothing. It's all good. Is it? Interesting. Open your Bible. We've given up stuff to follow Jesus, and I think sometimes we do wonder, well, what will we get? Well, if you're following Jesus, you've already got one piece of it. You've been born again. Oh, you got another piece. You can walk in the world in the midst of the trouble and the suffering with a living hope. Why? Because you're looking toward the future and you know that you have a priceless inheritance stored up for you. That should be exciting. That should be encouraging. These are the words of Peter looking back, the guy who was walking down the lane. What are we going to get? And here he is years later saying, let me tell you the answer to that question because now I know. Right? And think about it. This is the guy, do you know he asked this question after he walked on water? Get it? Do you get that? He walked on water and he's still a spiritual child struggling to make the shift to spiritual young adult because it's still all about him. His motives are skewed. What are we going to get? Right? We don't ever talk like that, do we? We don't. No, no, no. It's never about us. I'm following Jesus. Whatever he can bless other people with, I don't want nothing. Jesus gives me something, I'm going to break it in half and give it to somebody else. Right? No, we kind of go, here you go, man. Love you. Nah, we don't do that. As we enter this Easter season, we're going to be taking a look at it. I really encourage you this week, you know, take a look through the Gospels. Read through the Gospels and take a look where Peter comes up and where he kind of disappears. We're going to be following this story through the vantage point, hearing the words of Peter in the moment and hearing the words of Peter reflecting back much later, way more mature, a spiritual parent. Let's pray.